Hello and welcome to the BSG podcast. I am your host, Chase, and I am one of the few people that can now say that has been Sekiro. But with me, who has not been Sekiro, is Quinn, my co-host. How are you doing today, Quinn?
I'm doing all right. If you don't know who we are BSG. We're an informative bi-weekly podcast focused on gaming news and discussions. On Mondays, we go over the news for the week, covering everything gaming without the BS. And on Wednesdays, we pick a juicy topic or game to review and give our half-informed opinions on them. But today is a Monday, and what are we doing today, Chase?
I guess we're not talking about Sekiro. Today, we're going to be going over some interesting stuff. You know, Borderlands 3 is right now the fastest selling game in 2K's history. We also got that GameStop is having a new pilot store opening up, and we're going to check out to see how that's doing. And then we got a little juicy information about Remedy and Epic with their game Control and how they had to pay a lot of money to get them to be exclusive. So more to come on that.
If you want to stay in contact with us and give us your feedback or news that you thought was interesting, you can do so on Twitter at BS Gamers Podcast. We'd accept and appreciate any tweets you send our way. But if you want to do us a bigger favor and be a solid contribution to the podcast, what can they do, Chase?
Well, we'd really appreciate it if you go and rate and review us. We're a small podcast. It really helps us out a lot. We need those listener views, guys. We need them. We need them so bad. So come on, hang out with us, all right? Let's jump into the news, okay?
Sounds good to me.
All right, here are the following game releases. Coming out on PC, we got The End of an Age, Fading Remnants, Devil's Hunt, Daymare 1998, Jenny LeClue, and Reign of Reflections.
On PS4, we have Movin' and Throwin', Gnome's Garden, Lost of King, and The Witching Tower VR.
Out on Switch, we have Jet Clave Adventure, Lego Jurassic World, Devil May Cry 2, and Paper Dolls Original, along with Grid Autosport, Neon Drive, and The Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening, arguably probably the most important game to come out.
In random stuff that's just coming out everywhere, Castle Crashers Remastered is coming out, Bus Simulator is coming out, Rebel Cops, Police Stories, those are two separate games, and then Untitled Goose Game, which I've actually been waiting for, so this is interesting, The Sojourn, Niflheim, and Ni No Kuni Wrath of the White Witch Remastered.
Which I'm assuming is the original Ni No Kuni, is that correct?
Just potentially. Okay. It's the one before the latest one.
Okay. There's too many out right now.
Yeah.
All right. Let's jump on to some other news. What do you got, Quinn?
All right. So Borderlands 3 is kicking ass, apparently. The Borderlands 3 release has been breaking records for both the series and for 2K Games. Take-Two Interactive, has announced that Borderlands 3 has sold 50% more copies in its first week than Borderlands 2 did, making the game the fastest-selling Borderlands title, as well as the fastest-selling title in 2K's history. They also gave some more fun facts about the launch of the game, stating that 70% of copies were sold digitally, which broke another record for 2K, which was their digital copies for a single game sold. Borderlands 3 also sold more than 5 million units in the first 5 days, meaning the franchise is now generating more than $1 billion on its own. It was also the game with the highest number of pre-ordered titles for 2K, so it's also taking that record. Also, highest-selling PC title for 2K, so another record. The game also has already generated more than 14 million hours viewed content on Twitch, which is more than half of the viewed time for Borderlands 2, and that game has been out for 7 years. With sales being so strong, 2K has also mentioned and sort of kicked steam a little bit, was that their exclusivity with Epic Games has really been in their favor and has contributed to an incredibly strong release.
A Nintendo-themed attraction is coming to Universal Studios in Tokyo, though. The first ride is slated to be open in spring 2020. The only two rides that will be there will be based off of Super Mario Kart and Yoshi's Adventures. Super Nintendo World will feature magnetic bracelets which allow guests to interact with the park, such as tracking points and allowances onto the rides. And William, the CEO of Universal Park, also suggested that the bracelets will have interactions with the Nintendo Switch. Now, keep in mind, this only has two rides, so we may have to talk about a little bit about that. And he also talked later, Williams, the CEO, said that it would not be for at least another 5 or 6 years for it to come out in the United States. Yeah. It sucks.
Well, in celebration of Batman's 80th anniversary, WB Games Montreal released a video of the bat symbol projected onto a building. Now, the bat symbol then flashes in the video to reveal four separate symbols really quickly. Many have speculated that this is to tease a new project by the studio related to the Batman franchise. Some think it could be a new game entirely, while others fear it's just a remaster of one of their older Batman titles. The Epic Store also gave away 6 Batman games for free this week, which you can still do, by the way, so might as well get on that as quick as possible. And that adds to the speculation for many people.
A new GameStop pilot store has opened up in Pryor, Oklahoma, which shows how GameStop wants to innovate their stores across other GameStops. The new store includes retro games to play on multiple TVs, along with couches and staff-sized tables to play tabletop games. GameStop Chief Customer Officer, long title, Frank Hamlin said they wanted to add a vibe which celebrated gaming culture. In fact, their goal is to have it to be welcoming, like a church, a synagogue, or a mosque. And yes, I am quoting what he said.
Very gamers rise up.
For the Church of Gaming. Gamergate, the Church of Gamergate. Yeah, there we go.
Oh, jeez. In an earnings report for Remedy's newest title, Control, a curious number came up in regards to how much Epic might be paying for exclusivity from larger titles. That number was 9.5 million euros, or roughly 10.5 million USD. This could either mean that Control's exclusivity to the Epic Games Store was purchased for 10.5 million, or it could mean that Epic put a 10.5 million minimum guarantee against future sales of the game. The second option would mean that exclusivity only earns developers cash up front, and they wouldn't be paid additionally until their sales reached a point that would meet that lump sum amount or surpass it, meaning that Control would have to sell more than $10.5 million in sales for them to earn additional funds. Although neither company has spoken specifically to the number that was revealed, Remedy has stated that they will need to break 1 to 2 million sales to break even, which roughly translates to $25 million in sales, meaning that that $10.5 million guarantee from Epic wouldn't really make up their total needs for breaking even. Epic's response to this has really just been, everyone should play Control. It's a really good game.
True that. Emmy-winning producer and former Vivendi Games executive, two separate people, Ariel Horn and Ben Kuzin, plan to open up two studios in Los Angeles and New York by 2020. The plan is to be the first 24/7 live studio for the video game industry and will be distributed on multiple platforms such as Twitch, YouTube, Hulu TV, and other streaming platforms. Currently, the producer has raised $17 million and believes the next wave of big-time celebrities will be esport athletes. Yeah.
Lots of big changes are coming to Destiny 2 following Bungie's split from Activision earlier this year. We've already heard that the game is coming to Steam and that there will be a free-to-play version available for anyone to play. But wait, there's more. Bungie has also announced that anyone who owns the game, meaning that they've actually purchased the game, will get the full year 2 annual pass content for free. So like I said, this only applies to people that purchase the game, not free-to-play users, but free-to-play users will actually be able to access some of that content in a limited form. Some players are upset with this change as they purchased the pass at the beginning of the year just for it to become free to other players, but Bungie hasn't made a statement on how they will make it up to those players, but with the game or the new expansion coming out in 2 weeks and all these major changes going live in 2 weeks, I'm sure we'll hear more soon.
All right, let's take a break really quick and then we'll get on to our discussion. And we're back. So, what do you want to talk about first, Quinn? Do you want to talk about the Video Game Entertainment News Network, or you want to talk about Super Nintendo World? Which one appeals to you more?
I want to talk about GameStop first. How about that?
Fuck you. I give you two choices. You make your own choice. Yeah.
Hey, man, you don't rule me, all right? Down with the patriarchy.
So, yeah, they're opening up, they always opened up a GameStop in Pryor, Oklahoma. So I'm assuming they picked that area most likely because when you go to like the Midwest or areas that are, you know, not, I guess, the most heavily populated or...
You think they're looking for churchgoers?
Yeah, they're looking for churchgoers. There seems to be a thing like GameStops are still fairly popular in these very not so much densely populated areas.
Oh, I see. I'm assuming this is where the majority of physical disc sales happen.
Yeah. And I think the other reason why they want to do it as well is because, like, when you have a very low density of people, it's hard to get together with a lot of, like, your friends. They don't live near you. So what's the best idea is you give them a hub to go and hang out. And I think that's what GameStop is trying to do. They had a lot of, like, these really... Well, they were also very nice chairs. They were a lot of video game chairs. I don't know if those are considered super relaxing, comfy. But, I mean, they had office-style... center. I saw like a little video on it. So it's not like to the point where there's glasses surrounding them and protecting them, but there are like multiple areas where you can sit down in this office table and then play a game of something together. I think that was what their intention was to make it a hub to just hang out.
Right. And I think it's a very good idea. But I don't know how it's going to make them money, right? Like their whole thing is that they are not making money anymore and they really need the money.
So I know we've talked about before, like they may be wanting to turn more into merchandise sales. I can't remember if it was you that told me that or someone else, but I have noticed like when you go into those places, they have fun merchandise that are appealing to buy. Whether or not I would have it, because I don't know if I have money at the moment, not till the 30th, which by the way, I have a job.
Chase is getting a job, everybody.
Yeah, probably haven't mentioned that yet. So because of that, like maybe they're trying to get people to come there and then they'll purchase stuff, or maybe you can rent hours to do it someday to maybe play Dungeons & Dragons. That's not a bad idea, especially if it's comfortable. So,
well, there's potential there maybe that because that is a very big thing, like a new business model that's coming up where if you go to like an arcade, you can rent time to play on consoles. And I can see that maybe being implemented into a GameStop, but I think the interesting thing is that I feel like there is a need for a communal place to play games. A lot of cities have these at like collectible card stores or comic book stores and stuff like that, right? These small communal based places where people can come and play like Warhammer 40K, it's like a tabletop game, or play card games against each other, etc. But I don't think there is a more video game centered version of that currently. That is pretty much focused on tabletop games, right?
And those centers. Seem to be selling retro, not selling, excuse me. Well, they do that as well, but
yeah,
they are setting up retro game areas. And I know that the Tokyo Game Show, which happened recently, they are big on retro gaming. And so, like, you can go and do a museum-like tour and try out these old games, like playing the Magnavox or whatever, and play these games. So maybe it's not a bad thing for GameStop to come up in on this and be like, hey.
I don't think that. The thing is, I think they're so desperate that they're trying to now compete, instead of with video game retailers, they're trying to compete with comic book stores. Like, they're trying to say, hey, we have retro games, we have all this stuff. But ultimately, like retro games isn't a booming industry.
No, it's still not. Small. It's very
small, and it's not going to grow. It's going to maintain its small status. Like, it's not going to ever be more profitable than brand new AAA titles, and they're based. It's hard to think that they're pretty much giving up on. We understand we're not going to be able to sell AAA titles because it's pretty much the vast majority of sales are digital. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they're going to be able to make up the profit they're losing, the margins they're losing, with retro games or with merchandise or with housing teenagers who have nothing to do after school, so they all just come to GameStop and play games. Like, that doesn't make them money in a lot of ways. You're just kind of setting themselves up to be maybe a potential babysitter in a lot
of ways.
That's
not a bad idea, honestly, to be a babysitting organization for video gaming. The only problem with is a lot of parents would probably not want to do that. They probably want them to get their homework done and shit. But
well, just think about if you're going to a mall as a family, you just drop the kid off at GameStop and then you go do your stuff and pick him back up. He doesn't have to buy anything. Right? Or like a lot of GameStops are in these like larger strip mall or mall type situations. Right. Or even. Hey, you just drop the kid off instead of daycare. Hey, just go walk to the GameStop that's close to your school.
Yeah, there could be some money made there. I know, like, I'm just thinking about how this is a thing that people do. I know my dad houses...
Posted Chase. He would drop Chase off at the trash can.
Very fun. You remember the Z Room, Quinn, where we went into and it was...
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he sells that...
He rents it.
Rents it an hour or two of time for people to, like... hang out there, quote unquote. They get their coffee, they get a little bit of snacks.
It's a business co-op center,
and that is a business practice that is happening nowadays,
right? So there are business co-op centers as like businesses go more online, like you need physical locations rather than like owning and leasing a place every month. Mm-hmm. It's easier to just rent a room
now. Is GameStop doing it correctly? I don't know. I'm not that well informed in that area of industry, but if that is what they're intending to do, maybe they're on the right track. I don't know.
I think that what feels to me is going on is that there is this urge for the new, because I believe they have like a new director of sales or new CEO or whatever we reported on a couple of weeks ago, who's actively making these changes and saying like, if we don't start changing GameStop, GameStop will no longer be a thing. And I feel like there is this urge to try and make GameStop this wholesome community place. Like, focus less on selling games and focus more on
being a stop.
Sure, like making GameStop a community place, right? If you can make it a community place, you'll always have enough to keep the store open.
And then maybe and then if you figure out what to do after that.
Right, and they can figure out what to do after. Like, how do we, now expand on, we have the physical community where gamers like to hang out, right? We have tabletop people, we have gamers coming to hang out at our store. How can we now profit on these communities that we have generated? The problem is that GameStop has notoriously been known for being asshats if a mom comes in to buy something, right, for their kid, oftentimes they'll get like the wrong thing, or they'll buy it from the bargain bin instead of buying like a full game, and it's like a notorious thing. But also, if a kid comes in wanting to sell a brand new game, they'll get paid $10 for it.
Not $5, it's lower, man.
or $5, $10 if you have their membership card. Like, GameStop has been notorious for ripping people off. So going from, hey, we've been ripping people off for years, to, hey, now we're a safe community space for gamers, I think is a weird... It's a big jump, and it's going to be really hard for them to do it, in my opinion.
As a possibility, what do you think about, like, you know how Korea has these famous internet cafes where you go in there, and that's where you play games for, like, a... certain amount of time on the PC.
Right.
How do you think GameStop would be faring if they did something like that?
I think it's too hard.
Is it too difficult in the U.S.?
I think it's culturally, it's not the same. The U.S. people like to sit in front of their own TV and play things in front of, like, at home.
Right.
And I think internet cafes is totally a culturally different thing. I think they're, like I've said, is that at arcades and stuff, you'll see little stations where you can pay like $20 for 2 hours or something, and you just go play
games. Yeah, it needs to be more like a gimmick, like a VR thing, I think would be.
It's oftentimes they're like VR or they're consoles with a bunch of new games. Usually what you see is kids just playing Fortnite. Is that like they have Fortnite on their phone or whatever, and they don't have a console, and they're like, oh my God, I want to try and play Fortnite, or I want to play this game that I've never been able to do because I don't have a new console.
Right, but I'm thinking about like the VR because that's such a difficult thing to have space.
Right, there are VR cafes too, but I don't see those being long-term successful because VR at the moment is not in its own right a successful medium yet.
No, it's not. I agree with that. So this is tough for GameStop. I don't know what to... I wish I was smart enough to be like, this is what you should do if we're going to save your business. But honestly... do I care if GameStop goes out of business?
There's not a point. Yeah. What does GameStop do for people? It doesn't do anything anymore.
So maybe that's really why they're changing to this community aspect. They're trying to get something that makes them a necessity or a desire. And right. At the moment, I don't see it.
I think, yeah, like you said, it's just the thing that the community desires, and I think a lot of communities desire, is a cool place to play video games. And that's it, right? Like, where can we host like Smash tournaments and stuff like that? And you could totally do that at a GameStop like this.
Yeah, that would be fun. Especially like, I would love if we ever got good enough at Rocket League to actually to a competition.
To have,
so
like,
that,
a Rocket League
tournament is a good idea. Maybe I hope that's what they're intending to do. I know we had a conversation about what maybe them building some tournaments, but from what I was reading this article about. What it was saying, it didn't say anything about tournament like structures or anything like that.
Well, I think it's the prototype, right? But I think ultimately those tournaments and stuff will come if they are successful in building a community.
Yes.
Space. Yeah.
All right. I think we snuffed the pooch here. Let's move on to some other topic. So sounds the video good. Game. So
I'm gonna network. Say. I'll let you choose because I chose this. Yeah, one.
We'll do the video game network because I know that we talked off air about how we wanted to talk about it. So there isn't a heck of a lot of information about this, but it was just basically saying that there are these two people who want to create a video game news network. Now this is obviously not the first one. We had G4. I don't know if that was even the first one, but I remember G4 being I loved G4 when it was on.
I think G4 was like the biggest version of what this has been.
And I agree, it definitely wasn't 24/7. I do recall that G4 would have paid programming portions. So the fact that this is going to be 24/7, it should be correct that it's going to be the first one of its kind in the industry. And I think it's a pretty good idea. Especially with how they're implementing it, they're not going to just be on TV. They're going to be on streaming platforms.
Right.
It'll be a way to bring a lot of information that, like, let's say you find on podcasts or that you find on, YouTube videos for news, or if you're like us, we go to physical news and read about it. This is a way to get it all together in one place, which I think is something that isn't completely cohesive at the moment. You got like GameSpot that does some news that's more or less cohesive, but there's a lot of things too much to go through. So maybe having a video game news network and entertainment platform/studio will be good for the community. What do you think?
It's hard to know what the angle they're going for is and why they feel the need to do this, because arguably there is enough content out already that has, like, there are places that aggregate this information, right? Like, there's places that aggregate news, like we're doing it. Mm-hmm. A lot of other people do it. Arguably a lot of other people do it better. So
yeah, that's very true.
And like, I see, I think what this feels like to me is that they understand that there is a ton of money in things like Twitch and YouTube, the gaming sides of Twitch and YouTube, right? And I think they are predicting that gaming content is going to be to raise in value as time goes on, as things like esports improve, as games earn more money, as the industry grows, they see content becoming more valuable. And I think establishing themselves as the first 24/7 live studio, whatever that looks exactly. like they can have pre-recorded stuff play. That's like a whole other thing, is that things like G4, right, that were almost 24/7, but you could have pre-recorded stuff. So maybe it wouldn't be completely live. You just have a news section every, let's say, 4 hours. And if there's any, there probably wouldn't even be any updated news. So just be the repeat. You know, if mm-hmm. people missed 4 hours ago, you just repeat the news. And in between, you would have like gaming oriented coverage, whether that's like esports or people just streaming games, you know, on this channel, I would say. So I don't know. I think you can, like, arguably, if you go on Twitch at any given point, you can find someone playing the newest thing and talking about the newest news.
So you can, but is it necessarily like, I mean, this one feels like they're trying to be the big shot. Like, I don't...
Right.
How do you describe it? I don't want to describe... They're trying to be the most
formal version of it.
What?
I think they're trying to be the most formal version. Like, the most... We have actual television production training and can make this a legitimate thing rather than a dude sitting with a webcam in his room.
Yeah. And that's improvement. This is like saying, right. Hey... there's a lot of, like you were saying, there's a lot of money to make in news. So how do we make it better than everyone else's? Well, let's use the resource and the fact that we have training, we have a lot of money to be able to put into this, so we can make it spectacular and people will want right. to, I don't know, herd to our side.
Well, the thing I was going to get at is that current news, like normal news, is not in a good place. And television news is not very good.
So do you think this could do it better, or do you think it's going to follow the same format?
Well, so the 24-hour news cycle was created solely for money, and it turned into this system where in order to keep people's attention, you would have things like every couple hours you have...
the cutest puppy.
Right, the cutest puppy, and then school shooting, and then cutest puppy, and then school shooting. And the current way that news currently operates on television, I don't like, and I am concerned that this experience that they're going to be bringing to the table will replicate something or a system that isn't good.
Oh, I'm 100% certain that they're going to have that cute puppy format, at least. I mean... If that's just, I mean, when you click something, you want to click on top 25 games. Is that really newsworthy in the long run? No, not really. But they'll probably do something like that. Like they'll do that's my idea of what the cute puppy is that they're going to give you information about something that isn't that useful, but maybe they'll also sprinkle in useful stuff as well, and so maybe that's not a bad thing, because they're an entertainment network in the end. It's in their thing. It says they want to open up a entertainment news network,
right? Okay.
So
I'm just worried, I guess. I
get what you're saying.
From G4 till now, there's been major changes in how we consume media, mm-hmm. especially gaming media. And I think that there are a lot of people out there on YouTube and Twitch who have really perfected in a lot of ways these new platforms. And I'm just concerned that it might be sort of like a fellow kids type of situation, right? Where like this TV studio is formed to try and replicate the success of these YouTubers and Twitch streamers. And in a way, it could come to a point where the individuals, the personalities on these platforms are lost in this like new system. And I know it sounds vague and not very clear, but I'm hoping, like, what I imagine for the future is that I don't want kids to no longer watch YouTube personalities or Twitch personalities because of this station. And this station might be missing a lot of good benefits that those other platforms have.
I wonder if it'd be interesting in the future to see how they'll do this. So we'll keep track of it. But it'd be interesting to see if they do. So. I know it'd be interesting to see if they do live streams of like
it will
people
be live
of a
the whole
no,
thing
no, no,
will
no,
be
no,
live
no,
streams
no of Twitch streamers. Does that make sense? So like
I'm sure they'll partner with content creators and have them on and do things, and they might even like pay content creators like a salary and say like, hey, instead of doing your full-time YouTube or Twitch thing, you'll now be like one of our hosts or something if you mm-hmm. want to take that up, if you want to be that part of that deal. Mm-hmm.
I think this will be fun to see how it turns out, whether or not it'll be good or bad.
Right.
Let's see. They said they're coming out in 2020, so we got until next year to figure what's going on with them.
Right. We'll be off the air by the time you're on the air.
Oof. Yeah. Let's keep pushing it, Quinn.
Let's keep going, Quinn. Let's talk about something else. All right, tell me about this Nintendo Land Switch Ride Festival thing.
All right, so they're coming out with a Super Nintendo World, you can say. And it's a theme park, and they're only coming out with two rides. That's the first problem. And it's coming out in 2020 in Tokyo. And obviously, they picked Japan because it's Nintendo. I mean, mm-hmm. it's a big place for Nintendo spirits or whatever bullshit. So they're only coming out with two rides, and they're only doing Mario and Yoshi. So essentially just Mario themed, and it's called the Super Nintendo World. So do you kind of see like already a few of the problems that are occurring?
Yeah.
So this is supposed to be a theme park. So this is its own park in Universal Studios. This is probably similar to like Disney World, where there are multiple parks for each one. Okay. Now, I'm assuming that they're doing this like only two rides to see how it does. Okay. But I think video game culture is big enough in all the countries of the world that this is going to be sold the fuck out. And there are going to be huge lines, and there's only going to be two rides.
Hmm.
Do you go to a park and that there's only two rides? No, there's usually like at least 10.
But it's similar to Disney, how they have a Star Wars experience, and it's literally there's only one ride in the Star Wars experience section. But you have to get like special access, and it's mainly just like food vendors, one ride. You can spend $100 to build your own droid or something, and you can go to this bar that you have to spend scheduled years in advance. Like, I think it's going to be a similar thing. Like, it's not going to be to someone who's looking to go ride and stuff, it's not going to be that great. But for someone who's obsessed with Nintendo, it's going to be everything they want it to be. It's like if people who are obsessed with Disney or people who are obsessed with Star Wars, the rides aren't why they go.
No, I honestly don't do rides, period, when I go to park.
It's to sit there and soak up the capitalism.
Well, I'd like to hope that in the very least that they're going to have a lot of these like little fun things that you can do that's Nintendo themed. I don't know. Eating food with, I don't know, the eggs from Yoshi. somehow incorporate that. Probably be a cake or something. But anyways, my point is that it doesn't seem like, from what I've read, there's not that much going on, even though it's coming out in 2020. It seems like, and this is why I'm a little confused, because this thing takes 5 or 6 years apparently to build, right? And they're coming out in 2020. So why is there not more information about what exactly is happening? I also think that if it's going to be called Super Nintendo World, why aren't there more different themes inside of it? Like, why are the only things are Mario related? In fact, the bracelets themselves are supposed to be Mario oriented. Maybe they'll change those bracelets that they wear later to something else more Nintendo-y. I don't know. But it's like they're missing out on Legend of Zelda. They're missing out on Metroid. What's another? Pokemon. Jesus Christ. Fucking Pokemon. They're missing Pokemon. So I'm having a lot of concerns here about, is this going to come to the United States? Because I would love it. I would fucking go to it. It is near my house, Quinn. So I'm motherfucking going to it if they open up a Super Nintendo World. But what do you think? Do you think this is going to do pretty well? Do you think it's going to do poorly?
Oh, 100% it's going to do well. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. I agree.
That's the problem. Is that of course it's going to do well, even though it might be a shitty experience.
But it's just like, could it do a lot better? And yes, it
can. Oh, yeah, totally. But the other thing too is that you have to think about, I was looking this up when I went to Disneyland a couple months ago, that Disneyland rides cost hundreds of million of dollars to make. Like the Cars ride at Disney or California Grand Adventure or whatever it's called costs over $200 million to create.
Seriously? Shit.
Yes. The Guardians of the Galaxy ride, the drop zone or whatever the fuck it's called, was like $100 and something million to renovate.
That's so really surprising. Damn. Fuck.
Yeah. So these like theme parks cost a shit ton of money to actually make. And so even though it's like, oh, there's going to be two kind of dinky rides or what, or experiences or whatever, they're forking out some serious cash to make all of this stuff work.
They're
going to
make the money back within the first week, if not the first day.
No, they won't. They're not going to make hundreds of millions of dollars within the first day. That's not going to happen. But in the long term, yeah, it's going to make a ton of money for them. Ultimately, like Disneyland, I think all the Disneylands combined make Disney like $13 billion a year, something like that.
Let's find out. Anyways, continue.
So yeah, like ultimately it's just to flesh out the theme park, and so that there's more reason for people to keep coming and get excited about going, and so more people go and more people spend money, blah 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 blah. I think it's gonna be crazy successful. I don't think I would be interested. I don't know that you'd be interested besides just maybe going one time, but
So Disney makes about $13 billion per day on all six of their parks.
Per day. So I don't think that's profit, though.
Profit is $6 million.
Yeah, so that's like nothing.
$6 million. Okay, so let's just divide that by six, about a million, because it's just one park. Let's assume they're not going to make as much as them. Let's cut it in half. So let's say 500K, and it's about 100 million. Yeah, it's going to take them at least a year or two, at least on good days.
Right.
To do it. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, fair enough.
So yeah, they're not going to make it all back in a day, but the experience is going to be there for decades, and that's going to make them money.
Yeah, so long term they definitely make a lot of money.
Yeah, long term it's a good idea, but it's if they had a Nintendo Land, that'd be pretty cool.
What do you mean? What's it? You mean like in the United States or
no, or wherever, like in Japan, right? Like just a Nintendo theme park.
I'm confused. Isn't that what
they're like? Yeah, this doing? Is kind of what they're doing, but I'm saying like instead of just two experiences, like make it. Like a whole shebang.
Yes, that's what I was hoping for.
Right, like that's that to me. That seems like a cool thing, is to have just a Nintendo-themed park.
What would make you consider going to a Nintendo park in the United States? Like, what? Because I know you're not a big Nintendo guy, but, like, let's make up a ride, Quinn. See if you can think of a ride that would make you interested enough to go. Something that blasts me off into space and then kills me.
Send me to Mars and I die. I don't know. I'm trying to think of, like, because I wouldn't want to. I'm thinking of a lot of, like, their smaller titles, like smaller exclusives, but I don't know that they would actually have license to do that.
They
I
could think do that Bayonetta. Would
be. I think it'd be really cool if they. If there was a Nintendo Land, let's say, I think it'd be really cool if they included indie games that do really well on Nintendo products. Yep.
So they're not making.
I think
profit.
That would be insanely cool. Like if they had a like this is that doesn't make entirely a lot of sense, but if they had like a Stardew Valley section, or like a. I'm trying to think of like other exclusive titles that are really. Like, Stardew Valley isn't exclusive, but
Harvest Moon.
I've seen, like, a lot of cool, cute indie games on, like, the Switch, right? And I think those would add to the experience a lot. Or even just having, like, characters in costume walking around.
I think the indie ones would be only good enough to the point of, like, food choices.
Maybe.
That would be about it.
Maybe.
Let's see. I think I would go, Pokemon related.
Like, Monster Hunter was exclusive to Nintendo products for a long that's time. True.
I want. They could probably get that. I'd be a little. Well, they're pretty lighthearted with the series in itself, so they could probably go with it. It would. I think with. Okay, yeah, that'd be good. A Monster Hunter version where like you're helping the Monster Hunter, like in the VR experience, try to take down a monster, and so like you're interactively trying to help by pressing certain buttons or something like that. I don't know.
Right.
Exactly.
So that was like the Star Wars experience. The ride in the Star Wars section is literally you have six people sitting in like a cockpit with a bunch of screens and you're just like pressing buttons. Like it's like a game pretty much.
That works with Star Wars. Jeez. I don't know how you would do it with Monster Hunter. Cause there isn't something.
Well, you just have everyone like sit on, standing, I guess. Sit on a, like a saddle of some sort. Right, and you're like riding into battle or something, or on those things that you can ride.
Yeah, I was going to say, did we have stuff that we could ride? I can't remember, but yeah, okay.
Flinging berries and stuff. You know, you have that flinger, and so like you're helping fling stuff to distract monsters and junk.
Yeah,
I don't know. I think it's definitely possible.
There.
Or even like the food. Like Monster Hunter has a ton of food.
Oh my god, yes. Now that would be really good. Monster Hunter restaurant where they just give you fat, thick
cuts of meat and like tons of fish and stuff. Yeah.
Okay. There we go. Now we got something going. Now I'm hungry.
Yeah, but I think there's like a lot of opportunity to flesh out these franchises that have been with Nintendo for a very long time. And there's like so many things. Like you have Cooking Mama. You have like a Cooking Mama thing. I don't know. And that's not necessarily just Nintendo, but there's like a lot of these small, cute games often land on Nintendo devices and have made a lot of money. And the issue is that you don't want to spend $100 million on a game that's only made $1 million, right. You know? I don't know why rides are so expensive and why these sorts of things are so pricey, but if they could get them to be cheaper, I think it'd be such a cool thing to have a Nintendo Land.
Yeah.
Or even just like a if GameStop puts all of its money into Video Game Land and you'll have a Nintendo section and a Sony section and an Xbox section and a PC section.
Quinn, they couldn't work together. That's impossible.
Right. And what was the closest thing, which was like E3 is falling apart. So yeah.
They can't do it. They hate each other, Quinn.
Oh, man. Hopefully this TV news network creates this. They integrate everything together and they take us on a ride.
No. All right, guys. I hope you guys enjoyed listening to this. We're so sorry that Nintendo Land isn't coming to a park near you.
Ever.
Or ever.
It's all the soonest they'll get here is in 3030 with virtual reality.
The closest was all in your head.
Right.
So, but you know what would be better to do if it's not in your head is to go and physically go on your computer, send a tweet at BS Gamers Podcast, and talk about your opinions. Talk to us. We love to hear anything about what do you think would be a fun ride at Super Nintendo Land or World. Who the fuck knows? Or maybe even better, Quinn, what could they do?
If you would like to be a certified friend of the podcast, you can leave us a good review on whichever platform you listen to us to. And if you are one of those people that are like, hey, I want to be a friend of the podcast, but I don't know that you deserve a good review, then what you can do is tweet us at BS Gamers Podcast on Twitter and tell us some things we can work on. And we will do our darndest to do those things and earn your respect.
And then give us a 5-star review.
And then give us a 10-star review.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, go on multiple accounts and give us 5-star reviews multiple times. We love that.
All right, let's not ask too much yet of these people.
The moment we get one, Quinn, we're hook, line, and sinker in them in.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, they don't even understand. We're bringing them on the podcast. We're doing a whole special
they
on
get
them.
A dinner.
We're paying the money to continue to come.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for listening, guys. We'll talk to you guys later.
Talk to you soon.